passage we're looking at tonight is full of intrigue. And I looked at many different commentaries, and there are so many different attempts to try and suggest what is being said from this axe head that gets lost in a river and is raised by a stick being thrown into it. And I have to honestly confess that some of the contorted theological attempts just mesmerized me, and my heart just, I couldn't find connection. But there is something, I think, profoundly significant about this particular passage, seven verses in the beginning of chapter 6. You know, the story of Elijah and Elisha, we've witnessed the impact of God's Spirit in the lives of these two servants. Fire has come down from heaven, consumed a sacrifice in front of the prophets of Baal and caused all the people to bow down, and what an awesome God. Rivers were parted as the cloak of Elijah was laid on the Jordan, and then later as Elisha comes back, you know, rivers held up. Chariots of fire appearing and whisking Elijah into heaven. These are dramatic and powerful and awesome things. Dead people raised to life in both Elijah's situation and Elisha. Rain has been withheld as Elijah prayed, and then rain came when he prayed. Foreign armies have been defeated. Well, the extraordinary supernatural nature of God's intervention is clearly evident in the lives of these two men. But actually, these are not necessarily the most important things. They are important. But when we sort of measure what is highly important and what we think less important, God's interpretation in the Bible is completely opposite. He says the first will be last. He said the last will be first. He says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 that the body of Christ is made up of many parts and the most honored is the least. So when we look at the Bible, when we consider things that go on in the scriptures, sometimes we can put the wrong emphasis on certain things. There have been times of less dramatic and yet intimate moments of God's gracious intervention. The care of a widow and her family making provision through one flask of oil. The purifying of a pot of food for the school of the prophets. The healing of Naaman. Now, he was a foreign commander from a different land. Why would God, you know, choose to make such a big deal out of this healing of this commander from Syria? And why did he point out that it was a little girl's witness that was so significant in the outworking of that story? Because God is concerned about the little things. God is concerned about little things. And we can see this. He's not only concerned about historical direction of the world in which we live. He overthrows kingdoms. He delivers millions of people from captivity in Egypt. He divides seas, moves his purposes forward on earth in spectacular ways. But he also cares about discouraged prophets who are hiding in caves and speaks to them with a still, small voice. The character of God is needing to be filled out by all these stories, these recorded events in the scriptures. Now, having just demonstrated his love for this Gentile commander Naaman, God now shows another dimension of his character. The recorder of Israelite history includes a simple story of a borrowed axe head that is lost in construction. And we read it. Now the sons of the prophets said to Elisha, see, the place where we dwell under your charge is too small for us. Now that's interesting because obviously here in Israel, the school of the prophets is growing. Why is it growing? Because God's Spirit is working powerfully in the life of Elisha and it is drawing others to seek to know, just like Jesus, about the kingdom that Elisha is connected to. But of course, these school of prophets are living differently to the world around them. They don't have much resources. They say, let us go to the Jordan and each of us get a log and let us make a place for us to dwell there. They're going to build a bigger dwelling home. And Elisha says, go. But at this point, Elisha does not intend to go with them. He has to be convinced. One of them said, be pleased to go with your servants. The heart of the servant of God is beautifully responsive here. He might have had his own thoughts and plans, but he's willing to yield. He says, I will go. So he went with them. And when they came to the Jordan, they cut down trees. But as one was felling a log, his axe head fell into the water. And he cried out, alas, my master, it was borrowed. Then the man of God said, where did it fall? When he showed him the place, he cut off a stick, threw it in there and made the iron float. And he said, take it up. So he reached out his hand and took it. Now, I read many theologians and people writing commentaries and they're trying to make out this is the resurrection of Jesus from the dead and all sorts of things. And honestly, well, it's certainly true of a redemption. It's a redemption, yes. It's the redeeming of a lost thing. That's quite true. And we are lost people and there is redemption. But I think sometimes we can overplay what God is trying to say because we're looking for the big thing and we miss the little thing that is really on the heart of God. This is an account of an everyday event. And it has as much significance as fire falling from heaven, consuming a sacrifice. God showed his majesty, power, authority, sovereign rule over this world and its people. The awesome character of God brought a fear of the Lord upon the lives of the people of Israel. They had rejected and turned away from God, who had rescued them from slavery in Egypt and given them a land of incredible blessing, yet somehow it is not the dramatic that often is the thing that convinces us that God is to be worshipped. And if you reflect on your life, you will find it is not so much the dramatic thing, but something so clearly of God that touches your heart. More often than not, it is the little things that God demonstrates his love for us. Here, one of the young prophets, trying to do the right thing, serving to build a new home for his companions, has borrowed an axe head to assist in the task. Working hard, the axe head has done so much and has become loose. A final downward blow upon a hard severed branch and gone. The axe head flies into the river. Oh no, he says. Hasn't that happened to you? Haven't you been in circumstances where you've made a mistake or even a mistake, it's just an accident has occurred? Oh no! Well, what is the outcome of this? Oh no! Alas, my master, it was borrowed. So it's somebody else's possession. You know, I wonder when you borrow things, it's easy to hold on to them, isn't it? And forget, isn't it? It's easy to hold things in your possession that you suddenly come and go, oh dear, I didn't return that to that person that lent it to me. God is concerned about little things. He does not want the person who has lent this axe head to go without it return. God is concerned about the little things of life. And he demonstrates that right here. And Elisha responds accordingly. He says, where did it fall? And he takes a stick. And there are all sorts of interpretations of the stick. Is it the cross thrown down? Maybe that could be an extension of things. But whatever, it's a miraculous thing that happens. He is seeking to restore what has been lost in order that it might be returned safely to its true owner. Well, that certainly is true of the cross. He's seeking to restore what was lost and return it to the true owner. So maybe some of the theological interpretation isn't completely off the mark, but we can miss in seeking to focus on the big thing, the little thing. God is concerned about this lost axhead. He does not want this son of the prophet to be disappointed in not being able to return it to its true owner. And when that axhead rises to the surface miraculously and Elisha says, reach out and take it, how do you think that young prophet is feeling? He is absolutely overwhelmed by God's love right there over a little thing. And that's true in your life and mine. When God acts in little things that touch our hearts deeply. And so God is concerned about little things. Jesus, as we read in the New Testament, says this. He's always concerned about little things, Jesus. Nothing is too big or too small for Jesus. One who is faithful, he says, in a very little, is also faithful in much. And it is very easy to be unfaithful in the little thing. It is very easy to miss the little things of life. The little words we say to one another. We must meet. The little promises we give. Does God ever say something and not do it? And he wants us to be the same. He is concerned about the little things. And one who is faithful in a very little, Jesus says, is faithful in much. And one who is dishonest in a very little is also dishonest in much. If then you have been faithful in the unrighteous wealth of this world, if you've not been faithful in the unrighteous wealth of this world, and wow, isn't that true? Taxation. Now there's a good point to make us tested as to whether we're absolutely true in our response to all sorts of challenges. What can we claim? What can't we claim? What is right? What is true? What is honest in this situation? These are the little things in life. If we've been unfaithful in these things, Jesus says, who will give you that which is your own? No servant can serve two masters. Either you'll hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one despised. You cannot serve God and money. Money so easily leads us to deceitfulness, not being true. You know, when we're handed back the extra dollar or whatever it is at the supermarket, do we all return it? Are we faithful in the littlest of things? Because God is. And here in this story, he demonstrates to us his faithfulness in the littlest of things. Jesus talks further about the Pharisees who were lovers of money, and we saw Lamb talking about the Pharisees this morning and the interpretation of the Sabbath. Heard all these things and they ridiculed him. Why did they ridicule him? Because they were lovers of money. He said to them, you are those who justify yourselves before men, but God knows your hearts. God is concerned about the little things, the things that other people don't see, the attitudes we have, the judgments we make, the words that we speak, because he says every word proceeds from our heart. He is concerned about these little things. God knows your hearts. For what is exalted among men is an abomination in the sight of God. And do you know what's exalted among men? The big things. The big things. These are the things that are exalted among men. It's the little things that God is most concerned about in our lives. Our faithfulness to our wives. The care of our children who are entrusted to us. Where we are called to serve him. He is concerned about the little details of these things. It is easier for heaven and earth to pass away, says Jesus here, than one dot of the law to become void. God is concerned about the little things of the law. Not to be legalistic, but to be convicted when we are grieving. When we make promises, commitments of time, declare that we should follow up with some matter, are we faithful to do what we have said? God never fails to keep his promises and wants us to pay attention to the detail as well as the visionary projects. He is concerned for us to be faithful. In Romans, Paul writes, "Owe no one anything except to love each other. For the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet." And any of the other commandments are summed up in this word, "You shall love your neighbor as yourself." And often those loving of neighbors is in the little things. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Well, through the miracles of Elisha, God's people learn that God is in the restoration business. He's about restoring us. He even restores a lost axe head so a borrowed item can be returned to its owner, and the son of the prophet who has come to learn more about God is encouraged in his walk with God. God is able to restore what is lost, reverse the fortunes of his people. And this simple story about an axe head, well, we could make it into all sorts of things, but I think we could miss. The most central thing to me is that God cares about the little things. Shall we pray?